time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies, with alternative and complementary therapies all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. And good morning, and thank you all for joining me here. There's two really good articles on depression. And it says, first, which exercise helps with depression the most? Well, a new analysis found out resistance training to be the most effective against depression. Adding weightlifting and to a regular exercise routine has been shown to add muscle tone, decrease injury risk, and improve bone health. Those are all known things. But its effects might also extend beyond the physical, as new evidence suggests that regular strength training may both ward off and fight symptoms of depression. The evidence comes from meta-analysis of the Psychiatry Journal of American Medical Association Journal Psychiatry that examined the results of 33 randomized controlled studies on depression and strength training, and it referred to as resistance exercise training. The studies included both males and females, with more than well over 2,000 participants in the study. The results of the studies were aggregated. The researchers found that resistance training significantly reduced the incidence of depression, regardless of whether participants had met a clinical cutoff point for depression at the beginning of the study. The analysis showed they were less likely to be depressed at the study's conclusion. And if they'd been assigned to a weight training group, those that were assigned to the weight training group had the least amount of depression. The results were significant even when the researchers controlled for age, gender, or improvements in muscle mass. So even participants who just saw a few physical changes from strength training still tended to see improvements in their mood and overall psychological state. And so this is really good. You know, we find out more and more that exercise has a profound effect on our physiology. And they say that those that exercise regularly, at least 3 to 5 times a week, increase all levels of health care. Again, there's a difference between a good exercise program and over-exercising, which can cause a tremendous amount of injuries. So, they found psychological methods could include the expectancy of improved mental health following weightlifting exercises, as well as social interaction and social support during the exercise. The professor said he emphasized that more research was needed, of course, to confirm the exact mechanism. Wouldn't that be cool? You get paid to study how much exercise affects depression. Or how about the study that eating healthy promotes good health? That's another one. Really, let me spend money on that. It says if you eat healthier, you're going to be healthier. So that one was on weightlifting and health and depression. And then the one right next to it was the antidepressive effects of chili peppers. Yes, they're saying that eating chili peppers has antidepressive effects because it possesses antidepressive properties, which makes it a promising treatment for depression. The study was published in the European Journal of Medicinal Plants, and it aimed to determine the antidepressant potential of the extracts of chili peppers. One of the things that when you get a blood test, you would always want to ask to get a vitamin D level. And I think every blood test, unless you have some specific issue where you're getting blood tests quite often, But I think the vitamin D levels are going to be some of the most important, I think the most important level to check for health. Because we know that if you can get your vitamin D levels up to 75 to 90, you cut your risk of every known cancer by 75%. Now, last week I talked about vitamin D. I talked about how the New York Times and this one Professor Schill for the drug companies was saying your vitamin D level just needs to be above 20 to 30. And that is categorically wrong. They're telling you that so that you'll keep your vitamin D artificially low. About a month ago or so, I talked about the history of vitamin D, and I'll mention it again quickly now because it just shows to the point of the mental attitudes of the medical boards. Vitamin D was discovered back in 1920, and it was called the sunshine vitamin because vitamin D comes from the sun. What they found that if they irradiated food with an ultraviolet light, that they could actually put vitamin D into the foods. So they said, well, let's do that. And so they started using ultraviolet light on the food. They even irradiated beer at the time because so many men did, that's what they did. They just drank beer. And so they wanted to make sure that everybody got their vitamin D. Now, they figured out that the equivalent vitamin D was about 20 milligrams. That's how much vitamin D they were getting. And if you look at 20 milligrams and you see it's going to be a very small little capsule of vitamin D or very small little pill. 20 milligrams is not very much, especially when you're talking vitamins, because as an example with vitamin C, you're going to talk anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 milligrams. Even simple things like magnesium and calcium, you're going to see up in the hundreds of milligrams. So 20 milligrams is very low. Well, what happened within the next 3 years of doing this, what they found is that the hospitals on the East Coast were going bankrupt. And they can't have this. So the medical board got together and they determined that we can't do this, so let's change the way that we measure vitamin D. And instead of measuring it in milligrams, let's call it international units. And 20 milligrams became a million international units. Now, when a doctor goes to a client and says, you're taking a million units of vitamin D? Now, how does that sound? It sounds like, oh my God, am I going to die? Okay, doc, I'm sorry, I'll quit right away. I won't take so much. What should I do? That was number one, was for the psychological effect. And 20 milligrams became a million IUs, a million. So, of course, then what they did is they put the maximum daily amount of vitamin D. Remember, a million units is keeping everybody out of the hospital. So they made the maximum daily amount needed is only 400 units. And, of course, 400 units is a minuscule amount. That's like you're talking a microgram instead of even 20 milligrams. So they did this on purpose, and within 3 years, all of the hospitals were back to normal again. But during that time where they were giving the irradiated food, there was nobody going to the hospitals. Nobody was getting cancer. Nobody had heart disease. Nobody was having stroke. Nobody was getting influenza. The hospitals were doing terrible business. So what they did is they on purpose changed the relationship that most humans have to taking vitamin D merely for the effect of creating more customers. Pharmaceutical companies don't create cures, they create customers. This is what the medical profession did. And now, when I read that the first time, I myself got pretty angry at it. And I was going, that's wrong. That's, to me, is criminal. And I think that the whole medical board at the time should have been arrested for constructive fraud against the public, because that is wrong. But anyway, That's what happened. This is where vitamin D is at today. So I'm saying don't listen to them. The 400 units is nothing. The average person needs to take at least 5,000 units a day and more like 10,000 units. And when it's low, you might have to take 50,000 units a day for anywhere from a week to 10 days. The regular vitamin D that a doctor would write as a prescription is 50,000 units of D2 once a week. We use a D3, and sometimes you might take 50,000 units, like I said, for a week to 10 days to get your vitamin D levels up, and then you lower the dose to, say, 10,000 units a day for maintenance. A child, you can get drops now where it comes in single drops, 1,000 units per drop. And again, depending upon the age of the child, 1,000 to 5,000 units a day. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And we are back. Thank you for joining me. An article from Sweden came out, and it talked about dog ownership is linked to lower mortality or death rates from all causes. And a team of Swedish scientists used national registries of more than 3.4 million people aged 40 to 80 to study the association between dog ownership and cardiovascular health. And their study showed that the dog owners had a lower risk of death due to cardiovascular disease or a lower incidence of death from all other causes, and it was during a 12-year follow-up of these 3.4 million people. The results were published in the Journal of Scientific Reports, and the goal was to determine whether dog owners had a different risk of cardiovascular disease and a different risk of death from non-dog owners. So a very interesting finding in the study was that dog ownership was especially prominent as a protective factor in persons living alone, especially alone. It lowered the incidence of cardiovascular disease, and it also lowered the incidence of depression. People that live alone, as a group reported previously, to be at higher risks of cardiovascular disease and depression and death from multi-person households. Very different than multi-person. So perhaps the dog may stand in as an important family member in single households. Anyway, the results showed that single dog owners had a 33% reduction in risk of death and 11% reduction in the risk of cardiovascular disease during follow-up compared to single non-owners. And again, the dog ownership findings were very interesting because they found that dogs originally bred for hunting were the most protected and gave the best results. But any dog, the lead author of the study was a PhD student at the Department of Medical Sciences. It's really a great, I just love studies like this because the scientists studied whether being registered as a dog owner was associated with later diagnosis of cardiovascular disease or death from any cause. And the study was, you know, 3.4 million people. And these kinds of epidemiological studies look for associations in large populations. They don't know specifically why they occur. They don't provide answers on whether how they protect the cardiovascular disease. They're not sure how that works or what's going on. But the results are very clear. Owning a dog is healthier than not owning a dog. So I love the studies like that. Anyway.
What's your insight on black seed oil?
Black seed oil is pretty good, and it has an anti-inflammatory effect, anti-cancer, they even talk about it. Every week, there's going to be something new that is going to be the highest antioxidant or the newest flavor of the month that is anti-cancer, anti-cardiovascular disease. I mean, sometimes impossible to stay on top of some of the new products that are going out. But they all have these special chemicals called phytochemicals or phytonutrients, and they're things like cyanidins or anthocyanidins or proanthocyanidins, and these are different polyphenols and terpenes and all of these different chemicals that actually produce the antioxidant effect. So black seed is good, and people can use that as it says on the instructions. So any other questions?
Hi, can you help me with hypothyroid?
Hypothyroid, oh, is that a condition that I talk about quite often? Hypothyroid is almost rampant in the United States. I think one of the reasons is because iodine deficiency. Iodine used to be the preservative in all bread products. Back before 1964, and iodine deficiency was much less. Then they changed that to bromated vegetable oil, and what happens is bromine sits above iodine on the periodic table. When you look at column 7B, those are the halogen group of metals on the periodic table. You have astatine at the bottom, then you have iodine, bromine, chlorine, and fluorine. And the brain thinks that these elements are all the same. Well, they're not. Only iodine works on the thyroid, and it fills up what's called T4, T3, T2, T1. There's a progression of how thyroid works in the body. The thyroid gland produces T4, but it's only a storage hormone. But the T4, the T is tyrosine, the 4 is iodine, 4 atoms of iodine around that T. Well, when you eat grain products, and I don't know anybody that doesn't eat, you know, think of it. How many people eat cakes, pies, cookies, crackers, chips, muffins, tortillas, spaghetti, noodles, pastas, any of those things, dinner rolls, French breads, anything? They're all made with bromated vegetable oils, and the bromine displaces the iodine off the thyroid molecule. It's like doctors forget their chemistry and they don't realize that, because they'll take a blood test and again the brain looks at that all of those elements are the same. So you'll look at, they'll even have a low TSH, which says your thyroid is moving too fast, but it's incorrect because there's no iodine. And so the thyroid is not working. How you test your thyroid is you look at your temperature, your body temperature. We want it to be around 97.8 or higher, and during the day 98.4 or higher. There is a little bit of a difference, though, in Rh negative. If you are an Rh negative blood type, your body temperature has a tendency to run lower than Rh positive blood types. And there's all kinds of strange things about Rh blood types. If you're into the ancient aliens, Rh negative, there's no evolutionary tie to Rh negative. Rh positive is very common. There's only 10% of the population of the world is Rh negative. And Rh positive, you know, it comes from the rhesus monkey, and there's 612 different species of the rhesus monkey. And there are no Rh negative rhesus monkeys. There are nothing. There is nothing evolutionary in looking at blood types of Rh positive to Rh negative that would promote the evolution of an Rh negative blood. So anyway, but Rh negative people do have lower body temperatures. They also have lower blood pressures than the average person. So you have to take that into effect. But the thyroid needs iodine, and we use something like Lugol solution, which has been around for 150, 200 years. and it's a form of iodine in the drops. You want pharmaceutical grade, though. And pharmaceutical grade is hard to find. A lot of people are making the iodine in their garage. They just buy the little 1 ounce bottles. They have labels put on it. They buy crystals of iodine. They get the cheap ones from China because the better crystals come from South America. And but they make a cheap Lugol's iodine. You want pharmaceutical grade so it always maintains an exact potency. And so you would start with one drop a day of Lugol's in a glass of water, maybe first thing in the morning. Every 4, 5, 6 days, you would add another drop until you're maybe taking, let's say, 4 or 5 drops. And you stay on that for at least 6 months to a year. Then you can cut back maybe to 3 drops. But one drop is about 6.5 milligrams of iodine. Now, just like vitamin D, iodine has been taken out of the market pretty much. And again, it's for the medical profession to have more customers, because there's three things you cannot get when your thyroid is healthy. And that is, you cannot get any kind of viral infection, you cannot get any kind of bacterial infection, and you cannot get cancer. So bromine is in all your grain products. Now, the other one above bromine is chlorine. And people drink chlorinated water, or they take a shower or even a bath from the water coming right out of the wall. And there's no filtration system on there. And so you're breathing a 10-minute shower. You're breathing an equivalency of 10 glasses of chlorinated water. So basically, that we don't want that, because it again displaces the iodine off the thyroid molecule. And then everybody's using fluoride toothpaste, and again, the fluoride displaces more iodine. So you have to take that iodine to purge out the bromine, chlorine, and fluorine. Now, to make the thyroid work, you also have to have the mineral selenium. You need vitamin B6. You need vitamin A. You need the amino acid tyrosine. You need all of these. You need iron. You need many of the B-complex vitamins to really make the thyroid work more efficiently. So you don't just take the iodine. You want to make sure you're taking something like Prime Longevity, and that has almost everything in it. You can order any of the products we talk about, and we ship all over the country. So please don't hesitate to make an order. Anyway, there is a good article that came out from a heart surgeon that's been practicing surgery for, oh gosh, many, many years. And he's a very famous heart surgeon. And he talks about the garbage that he learned in medical school and what causes heart disease. And he's coming out and he's written a number of books, The Cure for Heart Disease and The Great Cholesterol Lie. And he was the past chief of staff and chief of surgery at the Banner Heart Hospital in Mesa, Arizona. And he wrote a number of articles saying it is not cholesterol that causes heart disease. It is the all of the negative training that medical profession has got, telling people to eat these vegetable oils, polyunsaturated vegetable oils. And he said that those are inflammatory. Fat is not the enemy. Saturated fat is not the enemy. It is these omega-6 oils that are the enemy, and omega-6 fatty acids. And the ratios of omega-6 to omega-3 in the American diet, because of the medical profession, has pushed these polyunsaturated vegetable oils, oils like corn oil and vegetable oil and canola oil, soy oil, peanut oil, sunflower, safflower. The only oils you want are coconut oils, butter, avocado oil, and don't worry about the saturated fats. Olive oil is very good, but again, not so good for cooking. It only can handle about 350 degrees. Coconut oil can go 450 to 500 degrees, and avocado oil can go to 550 degrees. But what they found, and he found as a heart surgeon for 35 years, that it's the white flour, the sugar, and the vegetable oils that are the key elements in heart disease. And all of these, every packaged product on your supermarket shelf have all of these negative compounds from the omega-6 oils. There should be a between a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1, 3 omega-6 to 1 omega-3, but right now in the American diet, it's as high as 20 to 30 to 1. Even some diets are higher than 40 to 50 to 1 of omega-6 to omega-3, and those are all inflammatory, and it is the inflammation that causes the heart disease. So this is from a heart surgeon, Dr. Dwight Lundell. And again, he's the author of The Cure for Heart Disease, The Great Cholesterol Lie, and he was the chief of staff, chief of surgery at the Banner Heart Hospital in Mesa, Arizona. 25 years of doing heart surgeries. So he says, again, it is not fat your enemy. You need to eat fat. Fats are anti-inflammatory. It is the omega-6 fats that are inflammatory. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and I'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back. Welcome back. We had somebody asking us about lung cancer. I saw that on there, and yes, here it is. Someone was saying that their mom has lung cancer. She's getting treatment for it now. There's a number of new treatments. I don't usually recommend chemotherapy for lung cancer, for any kind of cancer, that matter. There is a new treatment modality that's being used that has a lot of promise, and that's immunotherapy, where they take your white blood cells out of your body, they take a part of your tumors out, then mix that to your white blood cells, they train them to go after those particular cancers, then they grow more of those white blood cells, and in essence then inject those back into your body, and those white blood cells have been trained to go after the cancer, and that's called immunotherapy, and that's showing a lot of promise. So the best form of therapy is oxygen therapy. Dr. Otto Warburg is the only doctor in history to win 2 Nobel Prizes for medicine. They were 10 years apart in the early 30s, early 40s. One of the Nobel Prizes was he proved that cancer uses sugar to produce its energy. Cancer feeds on sugar. Yet you go to any cancer clinic in the United States, then they're not going to tell you to stop eating sugar. The second Nobel Prize he found, the primary cause of all known cancers is low oxygen status. That when the cell drops below a certain amount of oxygen, it turns to the fermentation of sugar to get its ATPs. And again, you don't hear of any of the cancer doctors utilizing oxygen therapy in the treatment of cancer. So, doesn't matter, lung cancer, liver, pancreatic, oxygen is the key, and we get oxygen status to be 10 times the saturation in your plasma. So we're working at not just to get what's called 100% saturation, but 10 times that saturation. So once that plasma in your blood is saturated that high, because you're doing a little exercise or you're sitting in a far infrared sauna, and that makes your body act like it's exercising, your heart rate goes up. So that increased velocity of the blood and increased force and tension that the blood, and also the amount of oxygen, it can then, all that oxygenated plasma goes to the cancer directly and begins to change. It either kills those cancer cells, or if the cells have not been cancer for long, they can revert back to healthy cells. Otherwise, the oxygen kills them. Please look for oxygen therapy. Of course, we look at diet, nutrition, and the right nutrients to help with cancer.
I'm 62 and my recall and memory need help. What can I take? Thank you.
any of the really high amounts of polyphenols and these chemicals that I talked about that are in different foods. Ginkgo biloba is a herb that can increase blood supply to the brain, and that's where, again, we need more blood supply. Astaxanthin, that's a chemical that's in prime longevity, and it's actually 30 milligrams, not 4 or 5 milligrams that you see in other supplements, that also repair the brain and repair the small blood vessels. So then there's things that as you get older, one of the things that you want to do to keep your memory sharp is do reading, lots of reading, not staring at a television, but reading. And the other thing you want to be careful of is the blue light that comes off all the screens, because that can affect the brain and affect memory and affect the brain function. And whether it's a computer screen or your television screen or the iPhone, any of those blue light. And so you have to be careful of that and give your eyes a rest. One of the things I suggest is go outside and stare at the sun with your eyes closed, and let that sun go just right onto the eyelids and go that warmth and those UV rays. But again, your eyes are closed. Do not stare at the sun with your eyes open. When you look at the sun, make sure your eyes are closed. So then, like I say, reading. And then there's some of these exercises that you can do on video games. They're actually showing that video games, eye-hand coordination, can improve memory. One of the ones that the best video games so far that they've tested, and I read a report, they tested all of these different shoot 'em up video games, but the one that improved memory the most was Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong, they have shown that children playing that, even senior adults, that it does improve memory. So again, I would say if you have a child and they're playing video games, I would say Donkey Kong would be a good game to play. So anyway, hopefully that helps you for the 62-year-old. And let's see if there's anything else. Prevent and reverse heart disease. There's a lot of doctors now, heart surgeons, and they're coming out and they're really going against the medical community, because they're talking about that cholesterol is not your enemy, fat is not your enemy, it is the sugar and the omega-6 oils that the medical profession has been saying it's okay. As an example, right now the government, and this is a statistic, this is true, the government rates Trix and Cocoa Puffs and Cocoa Krispies healthier than eating an avocado. And because the government looks at how much cholesterol, sodium, and fat is in something. So if something has a lot of fat or has a lot of cholesterol or has a lot of sodium in it, it's unhealthy. So Trix don't have any cholesterol, and they're very low in fat, so Trix must be a healthy food. Same thing with Pop-Tarts and all of these Little Debbies. All of these are considered healthier than eating an avocado. Now, again, that's where the medical profession I call malignant dumb, and that's dumb that keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and don't listen to them because it'll affect your health. Healthy fats, you want to be eating an avocado. You can eat an avocado every day. You want to eat black and green olives, and again, I would get the natural ones. You want to eat walnuts, again, raw walnuts and raw pecans and almonds and pistachio nuts and Filbert's nuts and macadamia nuts. These are all very high in omega-3 oils. You want to use oils like in a salad dressing, flax oil, olive oil, avocado oil, and sometimes a little sesame oil for flavor, or a little some of these other oils for flavor. There's especially the Orientals use a toasted sesame oil, and that gives a wonderful flavor to salad dressings. There's been some studies that show that 6 to 8 tablespoons per day of coconut oil can reverse Alzheimer's disease. Now, eating coconut oil by itself, you want to make sure it's organic and you get a good one. I would mix it with a little cinnamon. That'll make it more palatable. And you can take a teaspoon of that oil every hour. It'll produce energy on the body. It does not produce fat. Or you take a tablespoon every 3 hours or so mixed with some cinnamon. And again, if you know anybody with Alzheimer's, get them on the high amounts of coconut oil. Have them eat avocados every day, olives every day, walnuts, almonds, pecans, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, all of those healthy, healthy fats. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And we're back, Natural Solutions Radio. Thank you again for all of you joining us.
Good morning, Dr. Ben-Joseph.
Good morning, Adam. How are you? Give us who you are and give us at least 5 minutes and talk about your book that's available.
Well, I guess maybe my experience was that when I first started working as an analytical chemist, which is the degree I have, and I worked for Federal Food and Drug Administration. That organization, I would call at that time in the mid-60s to almost mid-70s, was a good watchdog for consumers. Anytime a person had a problem with food or drugs or whatever, they could call and an inspector would show up. He would pick up the sample and analysis would be done. And if there was a recall, it was done immediately. This no longer is true. We used to have 10 districts throughout the entire United States with about 40 bench chemists and about 50 inspectors. Now they closed all of these districts down, and it's the main area is now in Washington, D.C., and the people that are administrating Federal Food and Drug Administration, they are executives that were hired from the private sector.
That seems to happen, but when someone works for the government, you know, in some capacity where they're doing analysis and investigations of drugs, that the moment they no longer work for the government, they go in and become lobbyists for these same drug companies. And to me, that's a conflict of interest. And I don't know, but you found that in all of your studies that these people just rotate right in working for lobbyists for the drug companies, pushing more and more drugs.
Well, I'll give you one example regarding the artificial sweetener aspartame. The person that was in charge of FDA that approved the aspartame, he used to be an executive with Monsanto. Okay? So even though the people in FDA didn't approve it. It took him 3 times to finally get it approved. And all indications were that it could create tumors, like it was proven by some studies, independent studies. Well, Dr. Hayes at the time went ahead and approved against the recommendation of his FDA lower echelon people. So it just goes to show you, they're looking out for the benefits of a big corporation instead of the consumer.
The FDA actually came out and said that our customer is the drug companies. It's no longer the people of the United States, because the FDA originally was put together to protect the people of the United States from products that were brought onto the market, drugs or anything else. And instead, they now said that their customer is the drug companies, and they have to support the drug companies at the expense of the public. And again, I think that you'll find that, what's the name of the book?
Chemical Warfare on America.
Chemical Warfare on America. It is now available at Health Naturally. Adam, thank you very much. It's a very good book. So again, the name of the book is, again?
Chemical Warfare on America. And Dr. Ben-Joseph, I'd like to mention one thing when you were talking about cancer. Ginkgo biloba is good, cordyceps is good, and is lion's mane.
Oh, yes, lion's mane mushroom.
Yes, the mushrooms are very good. And don't forget, as far as sweets, I use honey. And here in El Paso, we are blessed because we can get local honey, desert honey, which according to the
studies
in Dubai is one of the better honeys available.
Right. They found that desert honeys from all over the world, those honeys that were produced in very arid countries, have a higher anti-inflammatory effect, and they actually help in cancer. That is the sugar to use. And it has to be in a raw form. You don't want it cooked because then you lose all those enzymes. Thank you very much, Adam. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
There was another question. They asked me about ghee. And ghee is actually a very healthy form of clarified butter. You have to make it. It's more costly. And again, the same thing. You would want to make sure that it came from grass-fed cows. Organically grown, grass-fed cows. And that means organically grown means they get to eat the grass that's wild and not corn and soybean. Where would a cow eat corn in the wild? Yeah, it's going to go to a cornfield and just eat the corn or a soybean field. No, they eat the same thing as horses and deer and goats. They eat grass. But ghee is very, very healthy, and some people do better with that than with the regular butter. But again, it has to be from cows that are only being fed grass. Another question that came on there, she's been on the Simi-Avastin drugs for a long time, quite a few years now. And I would say that those kinds of drugs, those statin drugs, to me, are malpractice. Anybody taking statin drugs to lower their cholesterol, one of the side effects of statin drugs is muscle damage. Muscle damage. It affects the oxygen uptake of muscles. It lowers the CQ10 out of the blood and out of the muscle cells. So the muscle cells can no longer produce enough proper energy. The mitochondria don't work. You have to have CQ10 to help the mitochondria for the cells to take up oxygen. And what happens is that these statin drugs lower the CQ10 in the body, and they displace it, and they prevent it from going into the cells and helping the cells produce energy. So you end up with muscle damage. Now, what is your heart made out of? So let me take a drug that causes muscle damage. So you can die with heart disease, but your cholesterol was low. So as long as your cholesterol was low, that's okay. It doesn't matter that you're dead. My suggestion is do what Linus Pauling used to say, that vitamin C and L-lysine in a 2-to-1 ratio is the best statin drug on the market, because cholesterol is a band-aid. It comes from inflammation inside the blood vessels. As an example, when people drink a lot of milk, there's a chemical called xanthine oxidase. And that chemical goes into your bloodstream. It bumps up against the insides of your blood vessels. And it would be very similar to take, let me ask you guys, if you took a little sandpaper and rubbed that sandpaper on your arm, not even hard, but just lightly, but for an hour, what would happen to the tissue of your arm? So this is what happens. You get these chemicals in your bloodstream that bounce up against the insides of the blood vessels, and it causes an inflammatory response, and you get a little sore, like a teeny ulcer, a teeny sore. And so the body doesn't want blood leaking, so what it does is it gets a Band-Aid, and it patches that sore. Well, it happens to be that the Band-Aid is made out of cholesterol. Now, you cannot blame the Band-Aid for the heart disease. What you do is you blame the inflammation. That's why there's anti-inflammatory diets. There's anti-inflammatory foods. There's all kinds of things You can do that are anti-inflammatory. Now, Linus Pauling talked about vitamin C at 2 L-lysine 1. So if you were taking 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, you would take 500 milligrams of L-lysine. Now, I use a time-release vitamin C, a full-spectrum vitamin C that's time-release with all the bioflavonoids in it, and that's 1,000 milligrams, but you want it to release very slowly. The body cannot really absorb that much vitamin C at one time, only about 500 milligrams every 2 to 3 hours. What you want is to have the vitamin C come out very slowly. So I'll use that time release 1-3 times a day with an L-lysine 1-3 times a day in a 2-to-1 ratio, and it prevents the inflammation in the blood vessels. And also because it prevents inflammation, ratio of 2-to-1 vitamin C to L-lysine actually prevents a chemical that cancer cells produce. Cancer cells produce this chemical called collagenase. And whenever there's ace at the end of the word, that means it's an enzyme that dissolves whatever the word before the ace was. So collagenase means it's an enzyme that dissolves collagen. And that's what cancer cells do, so they can dissolve the cell membranes or connective tissues and they can spread. Well, when you take vitamin C and L-lysine, and anybody with cancer or that might have cancer and wants to stop it from spreading, you would want to take that vitamin C and L-lysine in that 2-to-1 ratio, and that helps prevent cancer from spreading. It also works to stop the inflammation and the irritation on the insides of your blood vessels, so now you don't need as many Band-Aids. You do not lower the amount of Band-Aids in your body to get rid of heart disease. What you do is you stop inflammation. So you're going to have high cholesterol because it tells you that there's an inflammatory response. Now, when you get a blood test on the cholesterol, there's the LDL, which is supposedly the bad cholesterol, and the HDL, the good cholesterol. What they don't tell you is in the LDL, there's two types. There's actually more, but the two main subtypes is either a small dense particle or a large fluffy particle. When the LDL is a large fluffy particle, it's actually protective against inflammation and cancers. When it's the small dense particle, then it's being used as the Band-Aid and building up. And when you keep putting a Band-Aid on top of a Band-Aid, you actually begin to close off the diameter of that vessel. So that's what's going on. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And we are back. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
I had a question as far as on the vitamin C, as far as the 1,000 milligrams. One of my questions is, ascorbic acid? What my understanding on that is, that's kind of like a combination of cornstarch and sulfuric acid. And I know that, like, anything basically over, like, 100 milligrams is synthetic made, or that's what I've been led to believe.
Most of the vitamin C is made from corn, and one of the nice things about Nature's Sunshine is that they use a GMO-free. Once they make that, it's a full spectrum. This is a vitamin C with all of the bioflavonoids added to that. So it's a high dose, which is the only way you can get that. You can't get natural vitamin C at that high dose, meaning it has to be processed, because acerola cherries or cayenne pepper, it's very difficult for people to eat a lot of cayenne pepper at one time because it burns so much. and acerola cherries when supposedly that's where they get the vitamin C. It's, again, very, very low dose. Now, Linus Pauling, one of the greatest scientists that's ever been in the 20th century, did just mountains and mountains of research and found that the vitamin C, he tested every kind of vitamin C, whether it was synthetic or otherwise. And again, what we want is non-GMO. But when it's mixed with the full spectrum bioflavonoids, it becomes very beneficial. Now, we use the time release because it releases very slow amounts of vitamin C over a 24-hour period. So this way you're not getting that blast at one time. And again, whenever I use vitamin C, I usually add the L-lysine, which is an amino acid with that, because of the additional properties that the two of them synergistically do. So according to Linus Pauling, that type of vitamin C, and Nature's Sunshine really does the best they can. They don't really use any synthetic compounds. But vitamin C is fermented. They do ferment the corn, and they process it to get the high amounts of ascorbic acid. Again, but it's mixed with the full spectrum of bioflavonoids, so I like that. And he found that it didn't matter. And he used in his research sometimes the cheapest vitamin C that you can get. And again, in IV drips in the A4M medical group for doctors that belong to the A4M, their functional medicine, they use the sodium ascorbate, and they use that as an IV drip, and they found it's phenomenal against cancer and other kinds of autoimmune diseases. So I hope that answers your question. There was a question about liposomal vitamin C. That's vitamin C that's been processed with phosphorus, like from lecithin. You can get, as an example, liquid lecithin and pure vitamin C powder, and you can actually put that in a blender and whip that, and you will make your own liposomal vitamin C, because the lecithin is a phosphorus-bound compound, and it surrounds that vitamin C, and it actually helps it with the absorption of that vitamin C, because oftentimes when you want to take high oral doses of vitamin C, you're going to get diarrhea because you're just going to pass out the vitamin C that you don't use quickly enough. And when you do the liposomal vitamin C, it actually allows more vitamin C concentration into the blood. So that's one of the reasons I like the vitamin C time-released mixed with L-lysine. And that's the Linus Pauling and the way that I use that. So, but liposomal vitamin C, again, is a new kid on the block, but I would take my vitamin C with L-lysine. Here was an article that came out, and it's on sauna bathing. It talks about 75 million adults in the United States currently have high blood pressure, which dramatically raises your risk of suffering a heart attack or a stroke. And high blood pressure is a primary contributing cause of death for a lot of Americans. When it comes to lowering blood pressure, Americans would do well taking a tip from the Scandinavian counterparts. New research conducted by scientists at the University of Finland reveals that the Finnish custom of sauna bathing helps to lower blood pressure and significantly reduce your risk of heart disease. The practice of sauna bathing is highly prized in Finland. So researchers have long known that sauna bathing has cardiovascular benefits, but weren't exactly sure why. Well, now they understand, because it allows more blood flow up to the skin, the surface of the skin. It increases a higher cardiac output, which closely mimics low to moderate intensity aerobic exercise. And so the sauna raises your heartbeat up. This was a study published in the Journal of Human Hypertension, and they looked at the effects of a 30-minute sauna on over 100 patients. So they found that those taking a 30-minute sauna found that the participants' systolic blood pressure dropped from an average of 137 down to less than 130. Sauna bathing, you can get those tent saunas, and that would be something very important to add to your health program. sauna bathing about a good half hour, but intensify it by breathing pure oxygen. I wanted to mention, I didn't get to go for it, but essential oils help repel mosquito bites. Thank you. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be back next week with another show. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning on Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. Prime Longevity, check it out. PrimeLongevity.com, the best anti-aging supplement on the market.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.